Hey, everybody. If you are a writer or an aspiring writer, or if you just love literature, I have a book for you. It's called Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories. It is the long-awaited craft book by Steve Almond, based on 3 decades of his writing career, a career that has featured at turns depression, failure, anxiety, self-loathing, despair, self-doubt, loss of faith, delusions of grandeur, and the occasional triumph. It's a book about the writing life. Steve Almond has done it. He has embraced it, the full catastrophe, and he has lived to tell about it. The Boston Globe says, quote, "This isn't just a book about writing. It's a book about honesty." And Richard Russo calls it, quote, "one of the best books on writing I've ever read. It's also the funniest by a country mile." Once again, it's called Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories by Steve Almond, available from Zando. Go get your copy right now, wherever you buy books.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, everybody. This is the Other People Show. My name is Brad Listy. I'm in Los Angeles. I am your host. It's nice to be with you. Thanks for listening. Today is Friday, so it's time for another flashback episode where I dig into the Other People archives and share an outtake from an episode from the past. Today I will be sharing an outtake from episode 521, my conversation with author Tao Lin. It first aired on May 20th, 2018. Tao Lin is the author of a memoir called Trip and several novels, including Leave Society, Taipei, and Richard Yates. He has also published a novella called Shoplifting from American Apparel. There was a story collection entitled Bed, and he is also the author of a couple of poetry collections. Tao Lin was born in Virginia, and he is the founder and editor of Moomoo House. He currently lives in Hawaii. A flashback to episode 521 is coming up in just a bit. And it's actually apropos that we would be flashing back to this particular episode, because in this particular episode, I talk with Tao Lin about his memoir, Trip, which is all about his experiences with psychedelics. Don't forget to sign up for my weekly email newsletter. You can do that over at bradlisty.substack.com. It's free. You can also join the Other People Patreon community over at patreon.com/otherpplpod. Help keep this show going into the future. So once again, today's flashback comes from episode 521, which first aired on May 20th, 2018. A reminder that if you like what you hear in this flashback and you want to go in for the full conversation with Tao Lin, you can do that. Just look for episode 521 in the feed. It's there, wherever podcasts are available. So let's get going with today's flashback. Here I am, back in 2018, talking with Tao Lin.
I chose it because it was cold brewed and organic.
Okay, because like the thing is like I'm constantly refining my diet, and I'm very susceptible when I read things online. You share a lot of like links to articles and stuff. I'm always reading them voraciously, trying to like figure out what to consume. Coffee's okay, you think?
I think it's okay, yeah.
Okay.
And also I chose it because on their website they said each cup had 270 milligrams of caffeine. And I wanted to know the exact amount I was taking because I change it by increments of 1/8 sometimes.
That's, you're so precise. You actually measure. I think most people, when they're drinking coffee or they're smoking weed or eating edibles or taking any, you know, they're just kind of like, they sort of eyeball it. But I feel like you're pretty precise.
Yeah, I used to eyeball it. And I would just think, like, this will be a surprise how much this is, and that'll be fun. But over years, through my notes, it's evolved, and I've gotten more refined and precise with it.
Well, but I think that that's smart in particular with cannabis and especially with psychedelics, where if you get the dosage wrong on edibles or on mushrooms or something, things can get hairy, and you can kind of ruin your time.
Yeah.
And everybody's dosage is different, too. It's not like there's a one-size-fits-all.
Yeah, with cannabis, it's been helpful to note the time I took the last hit. Because the hit doesn't fully take effect until 15 minutes for me. And often, if I don't keep track of the time, I'll just take another hit before 15 minutes and keep doing it.
And like a hit from a vape pen? Is that what you mean? Or
from a pipe or a... I've been using a water bong the past year and a half or so.
Okay. And like, what is your daily, like, do you have a routine? Like, because you use cannabis the way I think some people use coffee, right? It's like sort of like it's a daily ritual.
Yeah, it is. With cannabis, I do have a routine. I've been using it around 5 hours. I've been smoking it around 5 hours after waking the past year and a half or so. And I'm also on other drugs right now. I ate some tobacco.
You ate tobacco?
Probably like 0.2 grams of tobacco.
Like from like where, like what, you just go to the store and get some tobacco?
Yeah, you can get a pouch. And I got American Spirit organic tobacco. It's in like little strips.
Yeah.
And I just eat that.
Why
and
do you...
0.2 grams is like 1/3 to 1/4 of a cigarette. And if you eat it, it lasts for like 60 to 90 minutes. And I feel just a caffeine effect, but also I feel more intimate with people and social because tobacco has these compounds called beta carbolines that people usually don't know tobacco has. And beta carbolines is the same thing in ayahuasca that I think makes you feel warmer around people.
Now, are beta carbolines activated when you smoke tobacco?
Yeah, it's just, they're just in tobacco.
Okay.
These compounds.
But you don't have to eat it to enjoy the effect. You could smoke it and enjoy that same effect?
Yeah, when you smoke it, I smoke it also sometimes, or not sometimes, often, and I feel the same effect, but there's a stronger rush at the beginning, and the effect is briefer. Only like 15 to 20 minutes if I've been smoking each day.
And what about the carcinogenic effects of like smoking? You have to be willing to accept all of that. You're inhaling tobacco smoke.
Yeah, I think it's not as bad as people think, though, because a lot of the negative effects of smoking is from all the pesticides and additives and cigarettes. And if you're just using organic tobacco, there's none of that. And Aboriginals have been using tobacco for centuries to millennia, and they're fine.
Well, I was going to say...
But they haven't been smoking it until modern people introduced that, so there probably is some negative to smoking it. I've been trying to smoke less.
And eat
That's
more.
Why I said sometimes yeah. instead of often. I was thinking like now,
yeah,
in
I was,
the past 2 days.
I was going to ask you, because I know you have like done deep research about like Aboriginal cultures, and you've looked to history for answers to what like ails modern man. And when it comes to tobacco, I wouldn't know this, but like did Aboriginal people, they ate tobacco?
Yeah, they ate it and also used it as snuff. And they put it in various things. They put it in ayahuasca and other snuffs, which they blew up each other's noses.
Okay. And like in ayahuasca ceremonies, don't the ayahuasqueros like blow tobacco smoke at people while they're tripping?
Yeah, they use that also.
Right.
Like, Kathleen Harrison, Terrence McKenna's ex-wife, is one factor getting me more interested in tobacco.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because she gave a 4-hour workshop on tobacco recently. She knows a lot about tobacco and Aboriginal uses of tobacco.
And it makes sense sort of that, like, in turning it into like a mass marketed consumer product, that it would be perverted and distorted, and, you know, any kind of positive aspects to it would be sort of papered over.
Yeah, because if you think about it, it's a plant. It's also nutritious. It has vitamins and amino acids and minerals.
Huh. Well, see, now I'm going to eat fucking tobacco.
Yeah, I recommend trying it. And I also had three-fourths of a joint, of a sativa joint I bought yesterday.
And when did you smoke that?
Around 10 to 10:30.
Okay. So, like, shortly before coming over.
Yeah.
See, this is what I... Because, like, I really want to be able to use cannabis and to have it have, you know, these kind of energizing and enlightening... I want to have those experiences. What I often find is that it either doesn't jive with my life because I have a family and work stuff, and, like, I just can't find a way to do it without feeling like it's inhibiting me somehow. And I ultimately think, I don't know if my neurochemistry jives with it as well as some other people. Like, is that, that's a component of it, right? Like, you have a neurochemistry that you can do this stuff and it integrates well.
Yeah, and I also have a life that integrates it well. I don't have many obligations.
Right.
But I don't feel like I experienced many significantly different states of mind the way I use cannabis every day, because I didn't smoke it for around 48 hours after going on book tour, and then I smoked it and it reminded me of its actual effects.
Right.
Because when you smoke it every day, it just brings you sort of to normal.
Right.
But maybe a little bit more stoned.
Yeah, because I used to smoke pot all the time, like daily. And I think I was used to it. And you just get sort of like this baseline experience.
Yeah, that's what I'm in most of the time. But I also eat it, and that can bring me to a more stoned place.
Yes. That gets more hallucinatory, I feel like.
And yeah, it can be
it
really
lasts
strong.
Longer.
Yeah, it lasts longer and can be really strong.
So, when you're smoking pot, you take one hit.
No.
You take many.
Ideally, I feel like I would take one hit. I can remember months when I would just take one hit and for 2 or 3 hours I'd be stoned. That was when I was using it more carefully.
Right.
But the way I'm using it now, when I remembered its effects, I remembered passages in my book. And I was like, wow, that's actually its effects. And I was re-inspired to use it more carefully.
Hey, everybody. If you are a writer or an aspiring writer, or if you just love literature, I have a book for you. It's called Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories. It is the long-awaited craft book by Steve Almond, based on 3 decades of his writing career. A career that has featured at turns depression, failure, anxiety, self-loathing, despair, self-doubt, loss of faith, delusions of grandeur, and the occasional triumph. It's a book about the writing life. Steve Almond has done it. He has embraced it, the full catastrophe, and he has lived to tell about it. The Boston Globe says, quote, "This isn't just a book about writing. It's a book about honesty." And Richard Russo calls it, quote, "One of the best books on writing I've ever read. It's also the funniest by a country mile." Once again, it's called Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories by Steve Almond, available from Zando. Go get your copy right now, wherever you buy books.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And do you feel like it feeds your creative life? Like, you get great ideas? Are you able to remember? Because I can have these great, like, epiphanies when I'm baked. And I remember the same thing with psychedelics, but they're very slippery. And if you don't, I find if you don't like write them down, and sometimes even if you do, you know, you sober up a little bit and it's like, ah, I lost it, you know, or what was that? Like, are you able to keep track? You have a pretty good memory.
I feel like taking notes helps a lot. Taking notes immediately. Like in my book for my DMT trips, right after it, I would start typing. If I didn't do that, I would forget the entire, most of the DMT trip. And it's like that for other psychedelics also.
Well, I feel like this is worth exploring because, you know, having read Taipei and having read Trip, I feel like the research aspect of your work is really impressive. Like both like the depth and breadth of the reading that you do, especially for Trip, like you really dig in, like no shortcuts. Like seems like you read, dozens of books, scientific papers. You really went in. And
yeah,
then
one thing Terrence McKenna promoted a lot that I've gotten really into is learning. He promoted that people learn things for themselves. He had quotes like, for one person to seek enlightenment from another is like a grain of sand trying to seek enlightenment from another.
Right.
And that has inspired me to read a lot of nonfiction books and scientific papers.
And to figure it out for yourself.
Yeah, but I don't think I did a comprehensive reading at all. I just went with my interests, a few books in each direction.
Well, I think you have to to a certain degree, you have to get enough breadth in order to have a grasp to be able to write about it. But if you're trying to be comprehensive or trying to sort of do the reading as a duty, like an academic duty, then I think it becomes drudgery.
Yeah, that wouldn't have worked. I wouldn't have done that. Felt motivated to do that.
And so in addition, like in terms of the way that your books form and in the way that you sort of research them and gather the raw materials for them, in addition to doing deep reading, I feel like you're also pretty disciplined about note-taking. I feel like videos that you've shot, like you've captured psychedelic experiences and drug experiences in the past, which I think you've then used as source material, which you may have like, you know, tweaked a little bit, but like that part of your life, like you're very carefully recording your life, at least compared to most people.
Yeah, I've gotten addicted to that, I think, since 2006, probably, just when I started writing autobiographically. And then that evolved in 2010, me and my ex-wife Megan Boyle started a film company and we recorded ourselves a lot.
Right. MDMA Films.
Yeah.
Is that still going or is it defunct or is it just sort of an entity like floating?
Floating. Yeah. And maybe something could come of it later.
Sure.
And then from there, in 2013, I wanted to retire from autobiographical writing. I thought I'd got done all I could do with it, but then I went deeper into it. And for my next novel, which I've been working on since 2014, I've recorded a lot of voice memos of me interacting with my parents.
Okay. And this is Leave Society?
Yeah.
And is it about your parents or is it about your life with your parents?
Mostly, yeah. Because the last 4 years I've visited my parents every year for 2 to 3 months, which is more than I've ever visited them.
And so you're hanging out, you're recording. Do they know that they're being recorded?
Sometimes. Yeah, for around half the time. Like at some point I told them. But I think before that they already knew. They knew I was writing about them. Because in Taipei I wrote about them. And yeah. I told them like I'd be writing about them even more in the next book.
I feel like maybe the most moving section of Taipei, for me anyway, was the section where you're writing about childhood and the relationship with your mother and the teenage years. I'm recalling from memory.
Mm-hmm.
But that stuff's very affecting. I'm excited to read about this. And I'm curious, too, that when you're doing these voice memos and you're using your phone to record, are you functioning in like a capacity like me where you're interviewing them, or are you just sort of passively recording conversation to try to get like rhythms of speech or certain expressions? Or
I've done both things. I've been really deliberate in my notes. I would plan like what questions I would ask my parents and then record myself asking them. And I've also recorded and forgot I've been recording And also I've recorded samples just to get certain things I wanted to record, like my parents bickering. One time they were seemed to be like somewhat hiddenly bickering, and I wanted to capture that because I knew I wouldn't be able to remember
right
it because it was so subtle.
And then you transcribe.
Yeah.
Is that so, like, just to give, because I think listeners, especially the writer people out there, will be interested to know like what it looks like on a daily basis for you in terms of how you document your experiences for use in books. So it's recording, it's taking, I would imagine, notes on your phone in like the Notes app.
Yeah, I do that also.
Okay, so if something, you know, you have an interesting thought, you see something on the subway, whatever it happens to be, you're just putting it into a file there.
Now I used to do notes on my phone, but now I moved it to my computer, and if I think of something, I'll just email it to myself and put it into the notes on my computer. And also I've been just trying to remember better. I've been trying that for years.
I feel like you have a great memory. Am I wrong? I mean, like, a part of it is that you are good about keeping detailed notes and keeping track of what happens. But when I read your work, it's like, wow, he's like remembering, like there's incredible recall happening. So it's some combination of the two. Is your memory unusually good? Do you have like a photo?
No, I don't have a photographic memory. I think of my memory as bad.
So you do not have a photographic memory?
No.
Okay.
Writing this book, I've realized more how unreliable my memory is. Just from like, if I read an article, if I read like three articles on something, I still won't be able to explain it to someone. I have to read like two books on it and write about it and edit these sentences and keep reading them before I can accurately, confidently share the ideas with someone.
That makes me feel better.
That's good.
Because I think I'm getting the end result of it all, and it's like, wow, like what's wrong with me? But it makes me feel better that you're doing all this work. It makes more sense because I have, I talk about this, I feel like on every episode, like an incredibly slippery memory that I just feel like, especially as I get a little bit older, I'm like, wow, I can't remember like what, anything, like what happened yesterday, or I don't know, things just sort of go. And so
I found I need to keep talking about something repeatedly in variations to people to remember it. So I'll often say the same idea to people I talk to in my life, which is mostly only my girlfriend now.
She hears it all.
Yeah.
So that's it. So it's notes on you email notes to yourself as they happen throughout the day. You're taking voice memos. Are you ever just talking into your phone where it's just you?
I've done that a few times.
Okay. And then are you ever passively recording like when you're out in the world, if you're like sitting next to somebody on the train or something who's saying something funny or?
Yeah, I do that. My girlfriend and I have recorded bird noises and I put it in a playlist that's calming. And we were recently at a restaurant with her brother and his wife. And there were people, we were at this counter, a Japanese restaurant, where only eight people were and people beside us. They were speaking a weird form of Mandarin that I couldn't place the accent at all. And I recorded some of that.
All right. There we go. That was Tao Lin, episode 521, this week's flashback. Episode 521 first aired on May 20th, 2018. If you enjoyed the flashback and you want to hear the full hour with Tao Lin in episode 521, it is in the feed. Just look for it wherever you get your podcasts and listen to it. For more on Tao Lin, visit his website, taolin.us. You can also follow him on Twitter and Instagram. Don't forget to subscribe to The Other People Show wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also subscribe on YouTube. Follow the show on social media, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and Blue Sky. Don't forget to sign up for my weekly email newsletter. I would love it if you did that over at bradlisty.substack.com. It is free, and join the Other People Patreon community over at patreon.com/otherpplpod. Help keep this show going into the future. I have a book club. It's called the Other People Book Club. If you want to sign up for it, you can do that at otherppl.com. You can also get a t-shirt or a sweatshirt over at otherppl.com. Get some gear, some Other People apparel. If you have a couple of minutes and you want to do me a quick favor, please rate this show wherever you listen, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Give the show a rating, write a little review. It helps the show find new listeners. I have a novel out. My latest novel is called Be Brief and Tell Them Everything. It's available in trade paperback, ebook, and audiobook editions. I narrate the audiobook. So if that sounds good, if you want to read my latest book, you can do that. It's called Be Brief and Tell Them Everything. All right, so coming up on Sunday, my guest will be Adele Waldman. She has a new novel out called Help Wanted, available from W.W. Norton and Company. I had a great talk with Adele. She is making her triumphant return to the program as she celebrates the publication of her sophomore novel. It's going to be a good one. Stay tuned.